start off with a little discussion about the Mon. The Yidden Espelechem. Miyiten Musainu Yad Hashem Be'et Mitzrayim B'Shiftenu Asir HaBosar B'Yafenu Lechem Lo Soifa. And without lechem they can't live. Ki hoytseisem mosonu ala midwar hazeh lahomis if kol akol hazeh. Rov, without lechem, it's impossible for them to live. So, in Ekev, it says that the reason for all these events was vayyancha vayarivecha. The Rebbeinu Shalom starved the Yidden. Laman hoydiyacho ki loy ala lechem levado yichye ha'odah. Now, they had to endure Rov and ask for Lechem and then find out that it wasn't Lechem, but it wasn't Lechem Levadoi, but it's Kial Kolpi Moitza Pi Hashem Yichyodim. But this is lechem min hashamoyim. Chazal say that there's certain rakia, which is the shochka, it's called shochim. The shochkin, malach hashoros, the shochka is mon matzadikim. Another Chazal speaks about lechem, shemalach hashoros ochle. I'd like to put together all these Mamor Chazal and the Psukim and say what I think maybe something to give a little bit of thought to. That's what I believe that everyone knows, that today we know quite a bit more about that. We keep discovering that in food there's all different kinds of parts. There are essential parts that have the energy and the vitamins and the proteins, the things which are life-sustaining. And then there are parts which are vehicles for carrying the food. Eventually they go to waste. Eventually the life-sustaining elements are distilled from the food, which is the digestive process of the body. And it takes these chalokim of the ma'achol and the chalke mozoim and uses it for the life-giving qualities that those chalokim have. And then it takes the other parts and that goes through the body and rejects it. But those parts are necessary as well. Those parts provide the vehicle to be able to carry the food through the body and to hold the important chalokim so that they could be distributed and used according to their tzarech. They also provide other things. It would be impossible for a person to ingest, to take into his body the chalokim of the food without the vehicle to carry it, in order to swallow it, in order to chew it, not just in order to move it along through the body, in order to stimulate the body to want to eat the food, to give them an appetite so that it should have smell and taste and merit. All that's important. Chazal say that when a blind person eats and he can't look at the food, he's missing much of the hanor. By night, when a person eats food and is unable to see it, he's also missing much of the hanor, unless he has lights that allow him to look at the food. So there's parts of mare, reich, and tam which are necessary to stimulate the body to reach the food. Sometimes, I believe, say when a person is sick and he's unable to use his clay machel, in his alimentary canal, the system beginning with the mouth and ending with the koyach atchiyah. It's not functioning, so they have to push certain elements of the food directly into his bloodstream, intravenous, or perhaps to make it a direct line where the food goes into his stomach. In that case, the smell and the mare and the taste, of course, is not part of the yichil experience. But there's no other way to reach the person unless something is taken out of the food. Sometimes part of it is taken out so it could go directly to the stomach, and sometimes almost everything except every extraneous part is taken out so it could go directly into his bloodstream. Of course, these systems are imperfect because the body is constructed to go through a regular maisei achilu with everything that goes along with it. But this is all for the sustaining of the imperfect guf, because it says b'zeis hapecha toich alecha. It's the result of the fall of Adam Rishon, the result of the guf that has to have certain pu'ulis because of its chisoron, because of the guf's construction, which is built on the principle of ki ofer asav yel ofer toshin. Were the guf to be like Adam Rishon Koidem Hachet, closer to that of a malach, then there would be something similar to Hinen Imamte Lechem Lechem in Hashamayim. And the Lechem in Hashamayim is the distilled Lechem that only contains the life-giving elements of Lechem. It doesn't contain the other parts of it, which are the vehicles for Lechem. Of course, there were Yidden who had to have that stimulation to eat, otherwise they wouldn't eat, and therefore they had all the time in the month. I always thought to myself that the ordinary yid is the one who looked for the time in the month. So while he was eating the month, he was thinking of a good steak, so he tasted steak, he thought of a mushroom, he tasted mushrooms, whatever it is, except for the five things mentioned. Not one mandami, even the five things, but without mamoshan, only the time. But for the tzaddikim, who the bali madrege, other, even when they eat foods with a good time, they try not to think of the time and not to be stimulated, not to be shakua and the gashmi is sheboy, but to try in their minds to distill the life-giving elements without being diverting their minds away from Torah Ruchni, and the Eitel Shem Shemayim, which is only to be mechaving to the Koyach Achiyus in the food, and not to be mechaving to the Koyach HaTainuk and the Koyach HaGashmi in the food. So Adaram, the Tzaddikim weren't Margish all this time in the month, because they didn't want to be Margish time. And perhaps that's why it says or it was the time of Kitzapichas Bidvash, because for those people who weren't mechavan to anything related to Tam, but Shas Maisa, they were mechavan to sustaining the Guf so that the Guf could be Oisik and Vorim Shev Iktush and Avodas Hashem and Torah, and they refused to have any other kavona which would divert the purpose of life to the in the name of Tanugim. So then there was the Lushad HaShomen and there was the Pichet with Vashmap, but none of those time. It was the tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he provided an outlet to the people who couldn't separate any association with food from the experience of time and Adkerei Kach, that there were certain people who weren't even satisfied with all these other time, and that they had to have specific time which they felt that they couldn't live without. When they said that Zacharnu, and they mentioned a shopping list of special taimim, so they said, Ata nafshenu yivesh ein koil. Without this, we can't live. Because there's certain tanugim that the people say, this is my life. I have to have it. Until now, we ate the bitzolim and shumim and kishuim. And it became a necessity of life, an addiction. But the basic inyan of the mun was not to satisfy those extraneous in yonim. It was constructed to give the essence of life, and the truth is, Rabbi Shai, that going a lot deeper into it, there are parts of life which are also to sustain the goof, so that the tissue replacing parts of parts of food, rather, I'm sorry, not parts of life, but parts of food, the tissue, the other things that sustain the goof are also necessary. But we see a person's goof is in a massive, similar to the Yidden in the Midbar. And I would say to myself that when it says that the shoes lasted, right, and the clothing lasted, and didn't get worn out, the bodies also didn't get worn out, because it says also v'raglucho loy vatzeko, siblosho loy bolso, right, me'alecho, and v'nalcho loy bolso me'alaglecho, and it also says v'raglucho loy vatzeko. So not only did the clothing and the shoes resist the power of erosion and remain whole, and nothing, the natural forces that wear away the clothing and the shoes didn't wear away their clothing. The shoes remained whole. That's a mess. But the clothing they wore resisted the sand and the soil and the friction and whatever it is that causes clothes to wear. The person has clothing, and eventually there's a hole in here and there's a hole there, and he has to throw it out and replace it. It's not because, Chazal say that there's shadim that help wear out the clothing. But there's natural forces in the world, friction, other things. Right? Together with these things that Chazal described, and there was a nest in the midbar, and these things didn't wear out the clothing. But they didn't wear out the body either. And if they didn't wear out the body, then you didn't need so much protein to replace the tissue that was worn out. Right? Well, perhaps to replace the energy, you didn't need all that carbohydrate. And the fat to replace the missing fat that's needed for the purpose that it's needed in all different parts of the body. So that even the essential parts of the food weren't as necessary as the essential parts of the food that we have to eat, even after the vehicles that carry the food give out the parts that are put into the bloodstream and digested and absorbed by the body. If the body didn't wear out, so then much of the food didn't wear out either. Perhaps that's why they weren't given the amount of basar that's necessary to sustain life, because the protein in the basar, and it wasn't necessary, because it's there to replace the tissue that's worn out through regular life processes. And if it's raglucha loy vatzeka, so all kinds of different parts of the body were also loy vatzeka. In Mela, there was only the koyach achiyus, the energy, and other parts that are needed for the stimulation of the neshama. That's why it's lechem shavalachay asher oichol noisa. And that's why it comes straight min hashamayim, because min hashamayim comes the life-giving elements in the food, the koyach achiyus, and the chelkei haguf, which comes from ofer, come from the earth, and the koyach achiyus, which give life from the food, come min hashamayim. So even within the essential parts of the food, there's still a koyach that takes care of the chelkei haguf that become worn out, and there's a koyach that's there to give life into the food. So there are different parts. That's why I said l'man hodiyacha ki lo el alechem levado yichi ha'odom ki al kol moisa pi Hashem yichi ha'odom, because the lechem levado is with all the combinations that are necessary for the body in its condition of b'zeyas hapecha toich alecha, which requires tremendous yigiyah. since all that food is there to sustain and to operate within a body that's affected by offer atavi, offer toshuv, the body that endures misan has to be replaced. So the food that had to be eaten after the chayt of olam rishon was the food of this new body. So there had to be new elements in the food. That's why there had to be lechem. But the moon was there to sustain the previous loyal lechem levadri. It's lav dafke that this condition of olam rishon achar chayt, which required all that lechem, it's lav dafke that's the necessary part of oichel. The moitza pi Hashem is the essential part, which would have been enough before that. Lechem needs to say it's not just that Adam Yishev was told he has to work and he has to struggle. Until now he could have gotten the same lechem without working and struggling. Mizuch says that's not like that. After the chait, his body changed. It was subject to decay. If the body had to die, it wasn't eternal anymore. It was subject to decay. And he needed new essences in the food so that they could replace the decaying parts of the body. And with Mela, those new essentials had to be achieved through Zeyasav. There's just no other way to do it. Because you can't pull out of the earth things that are Toitzos ha'ofer, Toitzei ha'oret, and to get that out of the earth, there had to be a tremendous struggle, because that was necessary now to preserve the body. But the essence of the mon, the koyach of chiyus that comes from Hashemayim, that's good for Malachi Ashoret, is good for people whose gufim are close to that of Malachi Ashoret. And all they need is some little things from the eighth Hagun in order to sustain their life. They don't need more than that. And the Mela, the additional part of the body, which is more offer than the Malachi Ashoras, require just a small amount. But the rest is the Koyach Achiyus that comes from the food. And the Mela, the Rabbeinu Shlomo, had to sort of kill the present condition of the body, vayancha vayarivecha, to sort of rip the body out of its massive of Adam Rishon Kodem Achet, and to take away the zuhama, right? The Baruch Shalom took out the zuhama from the guf, like Chazal tell us, and he said, now your guf is droy to be fed through the koyach achiyus that's similar to that food which is given to Malachim. And that's why they were now ready for him to imam to lechem lechem and shemaya. And it's a tremendous idea. L'man hodiyacha means that even though in the future when you leave the midbar and you'll go to the Eretz Yisrael and you'll have to have Eretz Chito L'Soyra the Gefen L'Soyna V'Rim and you'll have to have all lechem and everything else, but L'chol HaPachas, while you're in the midbar, you'll experience L'dach, we should have that knowledge, L'man Hadiyacha. What is the real Koyach Achiyus? What's the real necessity? What's a body without Zuhamo supposed to live from? It's supposed to live from a Koyach Achiyus that's found in the Lechem Shemalach HaShoros V'Shoichkinoi, so in the upper Rekia called Shchokim. And that's the essence that's put into the Kodesh Kadosh, right? Kach tzinsen esachas v'sen shomem eloi ha'omer mon. The tzinsen esachas stood in the Kodesh Kadosh, next to the Oren Kodesh. Right? In the Oren Kodesh, in the Kodesh Kadosh, there wasn't regular food. And there, over there, there was a state of being similar to the existence of Malachim. That's why the Sintenus Hamon stood there. The Shmeyus Luderesechem. when, and sometimes that I think that the later we see that immediately after the parsha of the Mon comes the parsha of Amalek, right? Like Lachem and Yisrael b'Refidim, and what's Refidim? Rofu Yedeya Min HaTorah. And once it's Rofu Yedeya Min HaTorah, so they revert to a condition which for which Mon is insufficient.
Which Torah is it referring to?
It's referred to the Torah of Mrs. Of Mora, right? Shom Shom Lechoyku Mishpat. So they had they have to learn now the Mitzvah Shenit Lehem B'Mora, which is quite a large section of the Torah.
And the Torah is Mon. Mon was also referred to as the Torah.
No, the Lanitna Torah Elo Liyochle Hamon, because in order to, what chelik of the Torah is Lanitna Elo Liyochle Hamon? Most of the Torah Rabbeisai deals with in Yonim Gashmi, and those are the mitzvahs Masiyas. So the Aseres Hadibris give direct. They give the essence of Kol HaTorah Kulo is the Rabbeinu Shloimeh himself. Onoch Hashem Lekecha. He's Megala himself through the Torah, and the Aseres Hadibris reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the Torah, which is similar to the Mon, the essence of the Torah. To the Shomer Shaboy, not just the vehicle through which a person associates with Hashem Yisburah through the key of a mitzvah, but the Koyach HaMachshava, which is in the Torah.
So that's referring to the mitzvah of the mind. So when you keep the mitzvah, it's not referring to that over Rafi Yadayim.
Right. L'mana Nasenu Hayel Pesarasi Emloi is the Torah, the mitzvahs that were told about that they shouldn't go out on Erev Shabbos and so on.
So that they kept the mitzvah properly.
Lav Davke. Right from the very beginning, they wanted to go out on Shabbos and get new mon, and they weren't mamon. That is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that they'll have that gave them mon will give them lechem yomayim. The one is Yonis, within the Mon itself. But the Rofi Yudayim in the Torah is the Rofi Yudayim from the entire Torah. So, this is Nachamol, what the. A lot of these Mamor Chazal, and the. Go through it again, just very briefly. The essential idea is that the Mon, like Chazal say, is a neshama food. But the Mon is a neshama food, and that's only sufficient when Yidden are in the neshama masses. If they are Rofi Yedeim and HaTorah, they're not in the Neshama Matzah. And in Meila, the Mikrim of the Guf, that begins to reappear. They begin to reappear. The Mon, like I said, is Mon that is food that's not lechem. It's food that comes without the struggle for lechem, because the struggle for lechem is the result of the ribui of gashmius within Odom. In the chait of Odom Rishon that said ofer atav yilofer toshuv, that the body is going to decay and the parts of the body that have to be replaced have to be filled with a new kind of food that has to address the new needs of the body. Because once the body is subject to decay, if it's subject to Mises, it's subject to decay. It's Hainu Hach. You know, Malik Tola Kula, Malik Tola Palga. I mean, the Mises is a process of decay which finally makes the body totally deteriorate. But that eventually is fulfills the new condition that comes about with Ofer Atav, Yolofer Toshev. The Koyach Ofer, it wasn't Shoilet in too much before that. It only had a minimum effect, and it wasn't necessary to have lechem and to have all the parts of the food that are there to replace the parts of the body that keep draining out of it, and that have to be constantly replaced. And once you don't have to have that kind of food, then there's no need for Zayas HaPecha. There's no need for an involvement of the goof. The involvement of the strong involvement of the goof in producing this food is because it's the new requirement of the goof. The goof created that chiyuv, and now the goof has to be totally involved. So the mon just fell on their doorstep, and they went out to take the mon. The tzaddikim, it just was there. They didn't have to go out to get it. And the mon addressed the needs of the goof without those new needs that were created, because the yidden in the midbar were in that massive ruchni mizois oilom in hamidbar. When they were oilam in Hamidbar, they were filled with ruchnius, and that they didn't need the they could live on the mon. But after that, then they had to have an ordinary existence. But they had to learn from the period of time which they existed eating from the mon about the essence of ruchnius and the essence of food and the essence of the korach achius, which is all that a person should be and should need during that time that they were in the midbar. Right. And perhaps it was just one or two chitin. That was the Eitz HaDa'as was the chita, don't forget. And Domin says that the Eitz HaDa'as was the chita, and perhaps he understands it. Because if the Eitz HaDa'as was chitin, and the chitin is what lechem is made from, so the Eitz HaDa'as represents the type of life that other religion was there to avoid. That's why it became Eitz HaDa'as. Asher v'soich ha'god lo'soich l'himenu. Well, the Rishon was told to keep away from chitin, so that he shouldn't come to the masav of b'zeh shepecha toichalecha. But now, in the new masav of Adam Rishon, he's subject to the influence of the Eitz HaDa'as, and in Mela he requires lechem. And once he requires lechem, so this new system of b'zeh shepecha toichalecha, it has to be there because of what I said before. The new system that involves so many new needs of the decaying goof that could only be supplied by lechem. It's interesting because Chazal say, what's the chat? What's Eitz HaDa'as? What's the cotton that's when he has das is when he's goof, when his toy is masriach, right? Which is the what? He's toy tam lechem, and how do you know that when his toy is masriach? Because that's the waste part of the goof, which gives him that das of that the Eitz HaDa'as das toy v'ro. But now the lechem is essential. But what we have to constantly remind ourselves of, and this is the thing that we learned in the mon, with the mon, what we have to remind ourselves of, is that it's not that part of the lechem that's necessary for life. That part is required now as a vehicle, as a replacement part. But the yisoid, hachiyus, is the higher element that exists in lechem that comes straight down from Shemayim. And that could provide a food for people on this world. And there are actually people on this world at a certain period in the existence of the world. And they were all our avos and Dor HaMidbar who lived through such a massive of being able to to be sustained through the koyach achiyus in the lechem, without the actual lechem. That's the lechem min hashamayim, the moitza pi Hashem, which is mischach lechem. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu lechem lo yochal amayim lo shosat, simply because his goof was like other rishon kodem achet, so his goof had no need for the replacement parts. And the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu lo koasa einu lo nos leichoi, for that same reason lo koasa einu lo nos leichoi, because there was no decay in a goof that's like other rishon kodem achet. There's no decay. It's supposed to live lo'olam. Something that's literally Yodom doesn't decay. There aren't parts that fall away that have to be constantly replaced. If that happens, then there's a limit. Then it becomes the Dover Mugvul. Moshe Rabbeinu was taken away by Nishikus, not with Misa, because there was no decay in his goof. And the Mela, his Chiyus came straight from the moon. Okay, perhaps, just in a related thought, I spoke before about the Milchemes HaMolek. Milchemes HaMolek, Milchemes HaShem HaMolek Midor Dor. What's Milchemes HaShem HaMolek? HaMolek has, in Milchemes Keneged Ribono Shel Olam, differently than all the enemies of Klal Yisrael, who are loichem kineged Klal Yisrael. They also loichem kineged Klal Yisrael because of the elokus in Klal Yisrael. That's the thing that bothers them. That's the thing that makes them upset, that they see Klal Yisrael as hanoshim ruchniim, and they find themselves impossible to be soivel such a concept. It's an attack on their metzius. I spoke about that many times, but Amolek simply is fighting Hashem Yisburach, because I mentioned before that there are foods that are needed, an element within food that's needed to sustain the body, and they have to carry all these different vehicles, and there has to be all these different vehicles that carry it, and that bring it through the body, that make it attractive, and that provide for the decaying material within the body. So too, and then there's the essential element of the food. So too, within the Olam of Ra, there are those who fight the vehicles that carry Ruchnias. They'll fight the Dvorim Ruchnias, the body. And there are those who fight. They fight Kedusha itself. They fight the Ribbono Shel Olam directly. Melchom Hashem Bamolek Midor Dor. And there is such a Melchom. There's a Chaluk in the world that sort of fight Hamuna. In a different occasion, I spoke a drop about that. Even during these last couple of weeks, there was a battle in the American courts, which is a constant thing. It comes up very often in different forms. Between is are they allowed to teach creationism in the schools, intelligent design, and they, or must they present the development of the world as a product of some pseudoscience called evolution. And the courts decided that it's impossible to teach anything but evolution, because any alternative to evolution automatically hints at religion. And that's unconstitutional, because the Constitution requires that they shouldn't teach religion. And you can't even teach something that eliminates the alternative to religion. To teach anything that eliminates apikursis is therefore unconstitutional in America. Because once you eliminate apikursis, the only alternative is religion. This is the reasoning in the court. And even if you don't teach religion directly, but if you just eliminate the apikursis and you teach that it's false, not only that, but what if they teach, what if a teacher would suggest in the school that evolution is wrong? Then he says that there's something, there's the alternative is the only thing that he has to offer. And the only known alternative is religion. And because of that, that can't be taught, because it's keilu, he's teaching religion. But gedoyla misu. What if a teacher says that evolution is only a suggestion? It's an unproven theory. Even doing that creates a doubt in the minds of the students. And once they have that doubt, so they might say, well, what else is there? What else is there is religion. Well, that's unconstitutional. This is the thing of the court, believe it or not. That's what they say. Were they to point out the pashtus and say that evolution is something that's not only anti-religion, but that it's much more anti-science than anti-religion. It's basically anti-science, because science doesn't accept anything that's not observed or that's not proven. And evolution was never observed and never proven. So teaching evolution is the most anti-science teaching that there could possibly be. Besides the fact that it's impossible, I mentioned that earlier. There's just no heichatimtzeh. For having evolution, I told you that when I visited a museum when I was a youngster. So there are certain questions or difficulties, I would say. There are certain impossibilities. There are certain questions which are, you know, the Gemara labels kasha, and there are certain questions where the Gemara labels siyufta. Siyufta means that the essence, it's a mistake, just impossible. And kasha means that it's a difficulty, and I have no answer to the difficulty. But it's not sufficient to reject the concept because of kasha. Right? The problems in evolution are not kasha, they're teyuftis, because they're impossibility. There's no possibility of bridging the gap of the missing link. There's no way that there could be anything evolving across 100,000 changes, unless there were many other changes in between it, and we know these other changes don't exist. Among many other pirchas, I only mentioned that one, so I'm just returning to that. So, should they say this in a school, it's also unconstitutional, because then they're shedding doubt on the anti-science theory, which takes something that A, was never observed, B, was never proven, and three, is it possible? And if people would point that out in schools, so they would tell the children, this suggestion was given, it's anti-scientific, it's impossible, it's unproven, never observed, not one single instance of it. And then they would have to say, but we have to teach it to you, because doing anything else would be a suggesting that there's an alternative to it. And the only alternative that we know today is intelligent design by a creator, and that's called religion. And to even hint that such a possibility might exist is, and then of course, maybe the teacher would give a prize to every child who memorized the lesson well. Each one would get a quarter, and on the quarter it says, "Of God we trust." That's it means sickle fear. But you know. It used to be that it was not that line wasn't on anything above the dollar bill. So that we used to say that anybody who had a $5 bill in his pocket was no longer a maimon, because he had some money jingling in his pocket. But then they decided to put it on the higher bills. I think it's because of inflation that the $100 bill is not worth a dollar that from 50 years ago. The yesoid of the whole parsha of the Mon is there to l'man hoidiyacha, to teach us. And the hoidiyacha is to teach us that the neshama is not sustained through feeding the goof and replacing the missing parts of the goof and taking the worn out parts of the goof and giving it new protein and the worn out energy and giving it new energy. That's not what sustains the person. What sustains the person is the life-giving force which is within the food, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which comes from the Shochen Shchokim, who employs Malachim to feed the people. And the Malachim directly put in this life-giving koyach, it's the Zeus Apayim on the world, that puts in all the other elements of the food, yeah? But the Malachim, who are Shochet Mon, they create the Ruchnis within the food. We have the blend when it goes into our bodies. So it comes out all together, because without the outside, without the vehicle, without all the other materials, we couldn't sustain ourselves. That's the Zayasak, Apayim. Even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when not in the time of the Midbar, if a Kohen was able to eat even a pochus mikazayas of the lechem aponim, and it was misborach b'meyov, so then he realized that he was holding by a madrega where he was like the yidden in the Midbar. That was a tremendous gilui. You know, they say well, from the Brisker of by Shemitah. The Shemitah, it says it's in Parshas Bukhu Koisai. It's in Parshas Shemitah also, but more Mepurish in the Parshas Bukhu Koisai, it says, right, that V'achaltam Lachachem L'soiva. So, Hisik Lechem Daesh is Botsir, Botsir Yasik is Zora. Chazal Dashim, Achal from Lachem 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 Lachem. And so, the Tzadikim were B'chukai Sakti Lechu, and they were Amelo Matoira. So they were Zoycha to Daesh and Botsir, and they had all the food that they needed. The biggest tzaddikim didn't need all that food. But what they did was just to take the kimun that was mesborach b'meyayim. But the yesoid of that type of life is that the person who reached the madrega of the oichlei hamon, so by him, it was only necessary to sustain the chelak haruchni sheveguf, because the chelak hagashmi wasn't subject to decay. And he could have the lechem and the shemayim. The the loyal halechem levado yichi ha'odav. Hashem came, the person who wasn't, who didn't reach that madrega of the oichle hamon, had to have something to be masviya him. Otherwise he would undergo the vayyancha vayarevecha. But the vayyancha vayarevecha is to rid the body of the chelkei haguf that were anything outside of the chelokim ruchniyim shevaguf, so that the essence would be the only thing that's necessary to reach them, and that they could sustain the gufim with something that could fit in the Kodesh Kadoshim. And you know, Rabbi, so something that could fit in the Kodesh Kadoshim had no gashmis to it, right? It says the Orin was Einam min Amidu. Only the Orin, but the other things are all misrabit together with the Orin. Tell the Tzenas Shamon sat there and it didn't change. It remained there for 1,000 years. When Yirmiyahu HaNavi took it out, Hador Atav Re'u, it was as fresh and it was bright at the time when it came. Einoi ke'en habdoilach. It shined with the glow of bedoilach. Midach kiser avoysai, we have those again, like I said before, about Amalek. They're fighting ruchnius. They decided they're not going to pit that battle against them. I can't. They have nothing, no enmity at all to the bodies of Klal Yisroel. The enmity is there to the neshama. They're out to destroy the neshama. As long as they could plant apikursus in Klal Yisroel, that's all. Asher korcha baderech, right? Korcha baderech, yikriecha, kul yuo. That's the role of Amalek. But what's the poel yoytze from all this? The poel yoytze is we have no mon today. Right? And we can't even have the tzenfenes hamon to see it. And not only that, but we can't conceive of a matzav that the goof should be. That it should be roi for achilas mon. It's very difficult to absorb these ideas. But something that we could think about, and that we're mechuyev to think about, because the Torah says, L'man hoidiyacho. The L'man hoidiyacho was told to the Yidden when they were leaving the Midbar. When they were going into Eretz Yisrael, it's in Parsha Sekev. It's not in the beginning. After the 40 years, when they were about to experience Vayishpoi Tzaron Rimochros. And that's the L'man Hodiacho is a eternal Hodor. And that's that basically we have to attend to the essence that feeds our Koyach Ruchni. Even though it's necessary to have the Bezeyas HaPecha, but the person has to put his main effort into strengthening Yamuna, into strengthening Bitochen Hashem Yisburg, into strengthening Limud HaTorah, into strengthening the Torah Ruchni. And then his necessities will fall on his doorstep, like by the month. And in a world where the koyach, where the war against Amunah is so strong, like I told you, it's so ludicrous, and yet it's all accepted. The times and the sophisticated the media reports it with words that they consider to be intelligent. And the only world of intelligence and education is able to say these things out without being shocked by you. able to say that this is the chokhmah that American culture accepts, and this is the wisdom of the day, that anyone that points out the falseness in something which is so transparently false, so that there's no way in the world to circumvent the questions, is doing something unconstitutional, because he's hinting that there may be some kind of thing called religion. So this is the Amalek-like thinking of the world that we were warned against. And we have to, in our minds, because we're not interested in what they teach in the public schools. Maybe the less they teach, we'll be able to get to the Jewish children that are there more easily. But we have to be aware of what our real needs are and what our milchama is, and we have to chazen these things over and over, especially during the parts of the year where these things are come out, the Torah. That this chaydor, this idea, is very essential. That we have to cultivate and feed and sustain and constantly work on the koyach haruchni shabbat. Constantly be mechazek emunah. When you see apikursos in the world, you have to fight. Tzadik b'emunoso yichya. And when a person sees the, Vayirmi, I'll tell you something else. The one worked on Bitochen also, right? Not on Amun, just on Amun. On Bitochen, Hadoir HaTemru, the message of Yirmi was that the Rebbein Shalom will send you along Parnosek, through the Matem of Parnosaschem. The Rebbein Shalom said, in Haver Shluchem Lamokim, when I gave you Amun, when the Nebuchadnezzar, that's what Chazal tell us, that's there in Tanakh. Nebuchadnezzar and his soldiers were pounding away at the walls of Yerushalayim. And you heard the sounds of the big rocks that were falling and chipping away, right? They were building wall machines and causeways, trying to breach the walls. And the people came to Yirmiyah, and they told Yirmiyah, it's imminent. The Churban is staring us in the face. Right? So what did Yirmiyah do? He went into the Kodesh Kedoshim and he pulled out the Tzedek Hamon and showed the people Hador Atamru, and he told them that you have to sit and learn Torah, and that's going to save you. And then he told him, what? What's the shayach that we should sit and learn Torah? And their kasha was based on a lack of bitachon, not a lack of emunah. The kasha was, what's going to provide for us if we're not going to struggle? And if we're going to struggle, then at least we'll have something to provide. Kabbalchayim, malach, when we struggle, we don't have enough. Koshkin, we won't. We surely won't have enough. Right? That's the old kabbalchayim. The kabbalchayim of the people who are nice of a pair of shvius. If you ask them how come, they'll say, take a look, I became poor less. Yeah, I was nice and nice. What if I wouldn't have been nice in the pair of shvius? So I would have less. If I would have less, Hashem the Rosh Hashanah put the machshav into my mind that I should at least do a little business. That's what Yirmiyah told him. So he said, you got to work on the midah of bitochen. Bitochen is to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it will take care of you. And Amun is to believe that the Rosh Hashanah exists and that it created the world. And those two, the Yonim, require a lot of work. They require b'zeyas hapecha toich halechem. But it's a different kind of lechem that we have to have zeyas hapayim. It's the lechem shemalachi ashor asoichu. And the lechem that comes down from shchokit. And that's going to provide, that's going to save us. And that'll be matul us from churban. And that'll rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And there you may. Thank you.